Aussie TV.
Because of the false lines that our brother Clyde Pilkington draws at Acts 28:28 and 1 Corinthians 7:29. These are false lines, but because of them, he reaches really destructive, erroneous conclusions about how we are to live our lives, and especially how we are to treat the single life versus the married life. Because according to our brother, the epitome of spirituality today is to be married with children. If you are not married with children, you cannot reach the pinnacle of spirituality. If you think I'm kidding, wait to hear what I'm going to tell you today. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to another edition of MZTV. I got to hammer this because these false lines force people to make false decisions, decisions that are bad for them. If somebody listens to what Clyde is saying, and I'm going to read something he wrote beforehand, and I'm going to quote him from this latest video, 7 Things I Misunderstood About Prophecy, people could make completely wrong decisions based on this teaching. I have to destroy this teaching. I have to, because it's not only that it's wrong, it's that it's misguided, and the people who follow it will do misguided things. Somebody who really doesn't feel like they should be married, they just don't, they're not really into it. They'll read what Clyde wrote concerning the current era as opposed to what Clyde thinks was the former era, and they'll say, well, I can't be a spiritual person unless I get married and have kids. I'm not living the life. So because of Clyde's advice, because of this false line of what Clyde thinks Paul was saying then as opposed to what Paul was saying in the, quote, new era, because apparently Paul straddled this era. Paul was alive before Paul was alive before Acts 28:28. He was alive before then. Things were all different, according to Clyde. The advice he gave in 1 Corinthians 7 doesn't apply anymore. Oh, but it does. The advice Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 7 is timeless. He wished that everybody was like him, that is, celibate. He says it's ideal not to touch a woman, and he says that he would rather people be single because they're going to have trouble in this life. But since Clyde loves to be married, can't stand the idea of being single, he's going to create a false line and make marriage and childbearing the ultimate spirituality. Well, that's something that someone would do whose thing is patriarchy and family. But if your thing is not that, and you don't have a wife and kids, then you just can't be spiritual. I'm not even kidding, because I'm going to read something to you right now from the Bible Student's Notebook. This was, I don't know when exactly he wrote this, but I commented on it back in 2014. I'm quoting Clyde. Let me see if I can give you a reference here. I'm reading from an edition of my newsletter, the ZWTF, from May 6th of 2015. This would be volume 4, issue 19. The name of the article Clyde wrote was "The Era is Limitless." Yeah, limitless. Paul says it's limited. Klein says it's limitless. This is from Bible Student's Notebook number 488. I don't have a date for you, but the title is indeed "The Current Era is Limitless" by Clyde Pilkington Jr. Clyde writes this: "Religion has its own list of what it suggests are the effects of a spirit-filled life, but here Paul lets us see exactly what spiritual life looks like in our day. Unlike Paul's earlier instruction, the so-called previous era before Acts 28, domestic life," are you ready for this? "Unlike Paul's earlier instruction, domestic life has now moved front and center. The focus of our era is marriage, parenting, and employment, all done from melodious hearts, always giving thanks for all things. The focus of our era Is parenting? Is marriage, parenting, and employment? Marriage, parenting, and employment. Oh my! Marriage, parenting, and employment. Oh my! Marriage, parenting, and employment. Oh my! And if you're not either of these things, you're in a sorry state. In fact, I write in my newsletter, this should come as very bad news to unmarried people with no children who are out of work. You're screwed. You can't live the spiritual life. This is what a spiritual life could look like. It could look like what Clyde is describing, but not what it necessarily must look like. Otherwise, single, childless people can't do it. But he makes domestic life the be-all, end-all of spirituality. Are marriage, parenting, and employment really to be the focus of our era for believers? Well, that's what he said. Clyde quotes from Ephesians, and I'm going to show you where he does, but the place he quotes from, Ephesians 5, he thinks that this is the new instructions for people. All that says is husbands love your wives, wives love your husbands, children love your parents, honor your parents, slaves honor your masters, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't speak wholesale. It's not instruction to everybody to have wives, have husbands, or get yourself into slavery. Those that happen to be husbands and wives, here's your instruction. Those who happen to be children who have parents, honor your parents. It's not wholesale instruction. Here is the wholesale instruction for everybody in Ephesians. This, in fact, is the pinnacle of spiritual living. Here it is, from Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive. This is the focus of our era, and it was the focus of the same era, because 1 Corinthians 7 was the same era as the era we're in now. Paul does not give different advice. He does not give certain advice in 1 Corinthians 7, like it's better not to be married. He doesn't give that advice and then change it and say in Ephesians, post-Acts 28, that now I want everybody to get married and my whole thing has changed. No, this is the false line. This is the false argument, and it is to be exposed, and the teacher of it is to be rebuked with patience, with kindness, and you are to know the truth. And the truth is that the focus of this era is not marriage and parenting and employment. Oh my. It is, and I'm going to start this again from Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing in accord with the operation of the might of his strength. This verse is basically telling you that the center of attention should be the very thing that Clyde mocks and says that should not be on our minds whatsoever, and that is our expectation, which is the snatching away, which is to see Christ. He says it right here. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling. That's the pinnacle of spirituality. You don't have to be married to do this. You don't have to have kids to do this. You don't have to even have a job to do this. This is the pinnacle. To say that the pinnacle is marriage, I mean, marriage is great, like I told you yesterday. I wish I was married. I love being married, okay? But I'm not. But somehow I can still reach the pinnacle of spirituality by focusing, first learning about, and then focusing on my expectation. What is the expectation of his calling and the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints? Jesus Christ's allotment is our allotment. And this is what we are coming into, and this is to be our occupation. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, you know, I want you to have a single-mindedness for the Lord. He says, if you can be like me and be single, then do it, Paul says. It's the better thing. But if you can't, go ahead and get married. You don't sin. you don't sin, but let those having wives be as not having them, and those having husbands be as not having them. In other words, even if you're married, if you have kids, you don't neglect your wife, you don't neglect your kids, you don't neglect your husband. You love them, you treat them with fairness and everything else. Love your associate as yourself. That truth always applies. It's just that you don't put a stranglehold, you don't make that the center of your world. You make Christ the center of your world. That is true in any era, even though we're talking about the same era here. There's no discrepancy whatsoever in what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 7 and Ephesians. And as I said again, in Ephesians, I should just go there, but you know, it's in chapter 5. Look in chapter 5. It says, husbands, love your wives. Clyde thinks this is a charge for husbands to have wives. It's not. It's just a charge for those who happen to be husbands of wives to love them. Is this a charge for slaves to have owners? No. You see, Clyde just takes that one verse. Husbands, love your wives. And he stops there. It later says, you know, slaves, serve your masters well. I'm paraphrasing it. But does that mean that people should work to become slaves because this is the ideal situation in Ephesians? This is now the pinnacle of spirituality for husbands to have wives, children to have parents, and slaves to have masters? When you get to that part, it falls apart. This is why Clyde never gets to that part. So this is another case of stopping in the middle of a passage or the middle of a sentence, which we've seen him do twice, and not considering the context. It's fatal to not consider context. I consider context, I read the whole thing. And what do you see, what I'm going to get to, when Clyde says that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 not to marry, and in 1 Timothy, he tells people to marry. He tells widows to marry. But when you see why he tells widows to marry, it's not this wholesale instruction. I want all widows to get married. And he even misquotes scripture in the Bible student's note. But I'm going to show you. I have to show you because I don't want you to get caught up in this. I don't want you to think that, oh my God, I'm not living the perfect spiritual life. I'm not being everything I can be in Christ, because the focus of this era is marriage and parenting and employment. Oh my, that's the focus. So I'm not married, I'm not a parent, and right now I'm unemployed, so I guess I can't reach this pinnacle. You just fill yourself with guilt. Well, this must be the new revelation. It's not. The revelation that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 7 is the same revelation as today. Hold loosely to things. I went through that all yesterday. Hold loosely to your spouses, even to your children, even to your pets. And then Paul goes on, hold loosely to your stuff. Hold loosely to the things you buy and to the things of the world. And don't mourn as the world mourns. You can mourn, but don't be despondent. Let those rejoicing be as not rejoicing. In other words, just be even. Just get through this life. Play it cool. Do what you have to do. Buy your groceries. Buy a car. But don't get caught up in it. Get married. Have children. Don't get so caught up in them that you lose the focus on this. The realization of your expectation. Some people would ditch everything, even understanding Ephesians and the realization of your expectation, in order to focus entirely on your family. Because according to Clyde here, family is now front and center. Did you hear that? I just quoted front and center. Front and center. This is a cartoon. This is absurd. Jesus Christ is front and center, and the realization of our allotment in Christ is front and center. If you happen to be married, don't get divorced. You and your wife, concentrate on Ephesians. You know, I mean, Paul doesn't want husbands and wives to be so occupied with Christ that they don't give each other, you know, what is due to them in the sexual arena. So you want to be careful not to do that. Nobody's saying to ignore your wife. Nobody's saying, don't give your wife sex anymore. Don't rub her feet anymore. No. Don't buy her meals anymore. Make her pay her own bills. Yeah. Pitiful. Let me continue here. Paul's exhortation to married people, parents, and employees in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 is merely the kind of behavior behavior he expected of people who happen to be married with children. As I said, whose focus and expectation was Christ and his appearing. Christ and his appearing. Marriage, parenting, and employment are certainly not to be front and center, or the focus of our era, or what it means to be filled with God's Spirit. All quotes from Clyde. Being married with children is, quote, what it means to be filled with God's Spirit. Quote from Clyde. Being married with children is front and center and the focus of our era. Quote from Clyde. In his Bible Students Notebook article, and I already covered this, I refuted it in print, but now it's back. The beast is back in this video, which is why I have to deal with it again, because new people are hearing about it and they're questioning themselves. Wow, I must have missed out on the latest revelation. I thought 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and Galatians, I thought it was one continuous revelation to the body of Christ. Now I find out from Clyde that no, that's 1 Corinthians 7 is ancient information, doesn't apply to you anymore. Neither does the snatching away. Neither does anything in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, even Romans. Yeah, Romans, an early letter, belongs to the Jews, according to Clyde. Even though in Acts 9 through 11, Paul's writing concerning the Jews. He tells the nations, his audience, concerning the Jews, I would like them. See, he looks at the Jews as in the third person. My goal for them is that they come into their calling. He doesn't say, my goal for you, my goal for them. He's speaking to the nations, talking about the Israelites. This is so simple if you read Romans in the right way, without these predisposition glasses to see your thing, that is patriarchy, marriage, children, as the thing. Everybody wants their thing to be the thing, okay? It's kind of normal. But when, you know, if you want to do that personally, that's all right. But when you start teaching publicly that your thing, the thing that you're into, patriarchy, marriage, children, ought to be everybody else's thing. And when you twist scripture to do it, and when you draw artificial lines, then something's askew and it's got to be stopped. It's got to be made note of and it has to be stopped. But I say to you that a single, homeless, childless man sleeping on the street who believes God can just as easily and really more readily and certainly represent what it means to be filled with God's Spirit. That is the revelation or the realization of our expectation, as explained by Paul in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. So I'm quoting myself now from the newsletter. As I said earlier, Paul's exhortations from 1 Corinthians that single is better than married, it carries on through Ephesians and beyond. And anyone can see why. This is why. Marriage? Tell me if I'm telling you anything new. I don't think so. Marriage and parenting are complicated and time-consuming, full of problems. This is true in any era. It's easy to become distracted. Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians 7. He wants people to be undistracted for the Lord. But he realizes that married people can't be undistracted for the Lord. And it's true. Paul doesn't expect them to. They have to take care of each other. The husband is solicitous for the things of his wife, Paul says back there. Wife is solicited for the things of her husband, and they're parted from their single and pure and totally focused aims on Christ, okay? But Paul says, okay, that's okay, but I'd rather you do this. I'd rather you avoid that if you can, and I wish you were like me. This carries over. It's true in any era. Besides these things, marriage and parenthood are to be abolished in the coming era. Marriage and parenthood, for us, members of the body of Christ, with whom there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female. When we're in the celestial things, these things, marriage and parenthood, are going to be abolished. So Paul would have anyone who could handle it to be single-minded toward Christ. No wives, no kids, and no pets. Did Paul have a wife, a kid, or a pet? Not that we know of. I don't think he did. But few people can handle that. Most people have to have pets. They have to have wives. I understand that. Not many people can handle the single life. Paul realizes this, and like I said, he recommends marriage for those who can't handle singleness. But why would something that's passing away, i.e. marriage, is passing away. If it were a permanent institution, it wouldn't pass away. It would pass away, but it's impermanent. Why would something that's passing away be the focus of our era? That's the thing. Why would something that is passing away, marriage and parenthood, be the focus of an era where we are smack up against the return of Christ? It may be the focus for someone whose thing is marriage and patriarchy, but you cannot thrust your passion on other people as though spirituality were somehow compromised due to their single, childless station. I mean, that's just arrogant. And then to twist scripture to do it? I can see if you had legitimate proof, but when you have nonsense proof, when you have foolish proof, when your proof has to stop in the middle of sentences in order to hope to carry it to other people who won't check up on you, then there's something wrong with that. Truth be known, this might not be a popular saying, but I'm going to say it. It is the unmarried and childless, such as Paul, who have the greatest capacity for service to Christ. All right, so I'm going to have to save this for tomorrow, but this is going to be good tomorrow. I hope this was good. I hope this helps you. Paul, and I already have a plan for the day after that. Clyde says, pretty cut and dried, that in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is saying, don't get married. I don't recommend it. Keep yourself free. And in Ephesians, and in 1 Timothy, especially 1 Timothy, Clyde quotes a passage from 1 Timothy that, quote, single women are instructed to marry, bear children, and guide the house. That's 1 Timothy 5:14. This is a quote from Clyde. I'm going to get into this tomorrow. I'm going to whet your appetite right now. According to Paul, I'm quoting Clyde. According to Paul, this is the advanced will of our Lord for today. Here we go with that advanced will nonsense. So much so that single women are instructed to marry, bear children, and guide the house. 1 Timothy 5:14. Clyde changes the words in the context, young widows. Paul says he wished that young widows would marry. Clyde changes that without apology. He just changes it from that to single women to try to advance his theory that everybody needs to get married today because it's the pinnacle of spirituality, the focus of our era. So he purposely misquotes the scripture. Single women are not instructed to marry, bear children, and guide the house. It's young widows. And Paul is not even telling all young widows to get married. There is a certain category of young widows that if you read the entire context, which Clyde doesn't do and he never does, he just picks and chooses. In this place, he picks and chooses that single women, wrong, are to marry, bear children, guide the house. There's like 10 verses before that that explains the kind of single women, or the kind of young widows Paul is talking about. And there's a reason he wants them to marry, because they are doing bad things. This is not a wholesale. Clyde pitches this as a wholesale recommendation in 1 Timothy, which he thinks is a late letter of Paul that he wrote from jail. Nobody knows that for sure. No scholar knows exactly what letters Paul wrote when. So, but Clyde's whole paradigm, his whole theory, depends on knowing what letters Paul wrote before prison and what letters he wrote after prison in Acts 28:28. It's critical. But the scripture doesn't say, because it's not important that we know. It's not important. If it was important, then all the dates would be in here, and the order of the letters would be very carefully demarcated, and God would say, now, these letters Paul wrote in prison after the Acts 28 thing. doesn't say that. Nothing says that because it's not important. Doesn't freaking matter when Paul wrote what, because every letter of Paul's to which he signs his name is an attestation of his gospel. His gospel. His gospel is marked by his signature and his name. Paul, an apostle to the nations. Paul says, my name on this letter is the authenticity that it is real, and it also is the seal that this is my gospel. My gospel, my ministry to the nations. So, there's so many things wrong with calling upon 1 Timothy 5:14 to counter what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, to counter it as though Paul's giving wholesale advice to single women to marry. And when I show you tomorrow how, by ignoring the context, Clyde reaches an entirely different conclusion that is reached, then the right conclusion, which takes in the context, when you see that, you will once again see the desperation of this teaching. It's desperate. It must stop in the middle of sentences. We've already seen that twice. It must eliminate whole passages of prefix. We need to know the context where Paul gives instruction to young widows, not single women. And when you see that, again, you will realize that this position is desperate. And it's desperate to make one man's passion, which is fine, one man's passion for patriarchy, family, it seeks to make that, well, my way is the ultimate spiritual way. And if it's not your way, then you're just not living the fullness of the spiritual life. This is so not true. And I'm not going to stop this until everybody understands that.